Well, meanwhile, in Washington, President Trump today announced a new trade deal to succeed the North American Free Trade Agreement, or NAFTA.
So we have negotiated this new agreement based on the principle of fairness and reciprocity. To me, it's the most important word in trade because we've been treated so unfairly by so many nations all over the world, and we're changing that.
Let's bring in Derek Thompson, senior editor at The Atlantic. Hi, Derek.
Hey, Jeremy.
And President Trump called this a historic transaction. He is calling it the United States-Mexico-Canada Trade Agreement. How big of a change is it really, though? How different is it from NAFTA?
It's different-ish. It makes it easier for dairy farmers to sell into Canada, and it makes it easier, or harder, I should say, for car companies to outsource their work to Mexico. So if you're a dairy farmer in the U.S., or if you work in the auto manufacturing industry, particularly if you're in a auto manufacturing union, this deal is probably going to help you. But the big picture here, as I see it, is that Trump in the campaign 2016 didn't say, "I think NAFTA could use a minor tweak." He said NAFTA was the worst trade deal in world history. And this basically keeps the parameters of NAFTA with several new benefits for certain groups. So, you know, to me, this is a bit like saying LaGuardia Airport is the worst airport in the world, and then opening a food court in Terminal A and saying, "Look, I built you a new airport." Like, look, there's nothing wrong with a food court, and there's nothing wrong with opening up access to selling, you know, milk products in Canada, but this is not a new trade deal. This is not a new thing. This is basically NAFTA 2.0.
But are his supporters going to view it that way, or is this a win as far as they're concerned?
Yeah, I mean, if his supporters are dairy farmers, they're going to be happy. If his supporters work in the car manufacturing industry, I'm sure they're going to be happy. You know, in terms of the biggest losers here, it's not yet entirely clear. I think that people who support Donald Trump, it has been shown in poll after poll, they basically support him no matter what. And this isn't a bad trade deal. It's a fine trade deal. It's just extremely subtle compared with the criticisms that Trump had for the previous trade deal. And it should be said that in 2016, as a part of the TPP negotiations, the Trans-Pacific Partnership negotiations, Obama's team was negotiating with Canada and Mexico and actually extracted many of the exact same benefits that Trump has now extracted from those countries in 2018. And so I think the confusion here for a lot of economists, if you're going to take Trump seriously when he criticizes NAFTA, when he pulls out of TPP as he did in his first week as president, is if there was all this bluster about how bad these trade agreements are, and then 2 years later you're basically just reenacting them and putting a new name on it, then what exactly we've been talking about for the last year and a half?
Well, what does it mean for the manufacturing industry in this country, which President Trump has been focused on since before he became president? He's been telling people in a lot of states in the Midwest, especially, that, you know, we're going to bring your jobs back. We're going to the manufacturing industry in this country is going to boom again.
Right. So on the one hand, it's important to say the steel tariffs remain in place. They might open up more negotiations in the future with Canada. But for now, the steel tariffs remain in place. And that's something that the steel manufacturing industry quite likes. But whenever we're talking about manufacturing, it's important to say, let's define what a comeback is. In 1979, there were 20 million manufacturing workers. When Trump became president, there were 12.3 million. Now there's 12.7 million. Right? So we've added 400,000 manufacturing jobs in the last 18 months. That's not bad. Manufacturing jobs are coming back, but we're never going to have anything close to the 1970s economy again. And so, you know, when I talk to economists about, you know, how do you plan the economy of the future, they say, well, plan for the economy of the future. Don't try to create conditions to grasp for the economy that we had in 1979. And so it just seems like there's an enormous amount of effort being placed on creating conditions for the revitalization of a tiny, tiny part of the U.S. economy, which is in steel manufacturing.
Well, and in fact, we were just in Indiana recently doing some reporting on manufacturing there. And one of the problems that they say that they have in the industry there is, you know, we've got the jobs, we just don't have workers that are trained to do the new manufacturing jobs. Derek, just in the 30 seconds that we have left here, what do you think that this news about the U.S., what do we call it, USMCA,
USMCA.
The new NAFTA, what does that mean for countries that the U.S. government is still in sort of trade disputes with? I'm thinking about the European Union in particular.
the European Union and China, you know, if this gives Trump confidence that his trade strategy is working, that might embolden him to hold out on China. It might embolden him to hold out on the European Union as well. On the other hand, if you take the outcome of this negotiation on its face, then you say Trump is going to have a lot of bluster. There's going to be a lot of criticism of the status quo, but you're going to end up with the status quo. I mean, to be clear, USMCA, NAFTA 2.0, whatever you call it, it's basically exactly what the Obama administration had toward the end of 2016. And so if that's your precedent, then you're going to have a lot of bluster, but end up essentially where we were 2 years ago.
Derek Thompson, senior editor at The Atlantic. Thank you.
Thank you.